Systems plus training plus support, the formula for business excellence. In this episode, John Tonkin from Brain in a Box reveals the critical formula for implementing effective business systems. You'll discover why the cakebox simple approach doesn't work for everything, how to balance expertise and documented processes, and strategies for capturing valuable knowledge before it walks out the door. Perfect for business owners who want to build sustainable operations that maintain consistent quality while preserving their team's expertise. I'm your co-host, Anthony Pearl, and this is the Systems from the Box podcast. Let's start unpacking. John, we should look at this idea that we touched on in a previous episode in terms of talking about systems versus expertise. And where do we find that balance between the two? Because I also looked at this when we were thinking about this topic of discussing this and saying, I could hear someone saying, we don't need systems, we're experts already.
Never heard that before. I've heard many things like it though, I mean, to be honest. The number of times people have said, yeah, look, we know what we're doing, John, you know, look, appreciate what you do is probably important, but we know what we're doing. Our guys have been here for quite a while. They know their jobs. They're pretty good at it. You know, they don't need this. We don't need to have it. And you think, all right, good. There's nothing we can do if you don't want us to do it. And so there's nothing like that. But it's interesting that really when you come down to it, it isn't a matter of how much expertise you have in there. It's a matter of how much consistency you want in the output, how much you want it to match a particular standard, how much you want it to be something that has a very low return rate, very low warranty rate, and so on. All of those things come into play. So for generally is a response when somebody says something like that, I won't try and fight it, but I will try to say, talk to them about what they have in terms of issues coming back with warranty, returns, and so on. I would also be looking at the things which are there for replacing the people who are there. So if they're all of a particular age, there's going to be a time when somebody retires, when this guy leaves, when that person now does something, or when you want to open up that new office or new branch out there and you want to move that expertise out there, what's happening then? What are they taking with them? Because all they've got at the moment is their head and they can't move that around too easily. So it's something that we want to have organized by capturing that expertise, that expertise that you are so proud of in your team. It would be a good idea to talk to us and capture that, because capturing the expertise means that you can parcel it over. You can sort of, here it is in a box. That's where our company name came from, business, our brain in a box, because we capture everything in your business, in your business brain, put it into a box, and now we can give it to other people to follow, to use. So you've got to have that idea that even though you may have experts in the business, and we rely upon you having experts in the business, we want you to, it's a good idea to be thinking in terms of, great, we have the expertise, but it's fragile. It can go. You only have to watch people age and retire to realize that they're going to be not here. They're not going to be here all the time. We should be capturing that whilst we can.
Yeah. And it's a balance though, isn't it? Because some people are threatened by the idea of capturing their expertise because they're worried about being replaced and going, well, you're going to capture all my expertise and then you're just going to hire someone who you can pay less for and replace me.
Yep. And I've seen that and heard that and had that given back to me. All right, so you're just doing this so you can sack us all and get someone cheaper. And I've never been in any business where we've never been engaged to do that or to help anyone do that. And I'm sure it is the case for someone where they're thinking, oh, good, if I can get somebody to do this who cost me $10, I don't have to pay $100 to that person. There's an argument for it and so on, economies of scale and all the other things that we try to do. But generally speaking, we want to capture what somebody knows and make it so that we've got it in the bank. Because in effect, what you're doing is to bank it. You know, you're capturing that knowledge. It's on a page in a book or in a folder, or it's in your online system, in your intranet somewhere, or it's captured in that video that we can now play back. We've just banked it and you're still here and you can still be here helping our business grow further But we've got our safety thing there. We've got our insurance in that video or in that written down procedure and that captured thing on the internet, whatever it is. Because everything doesn't stay around for onks, you know, things will die. Things will change. Things will move. Not trying to sound morbid there, but I used to say when I was teaching my children to drive, we'd drive along and there would be a roundabout with some broken glass at the roundabout. And I would say, you do realize that the person whose car that was didn't get up this morning and get in their car and think, today when I get to the roundabout, I'm going to have an accident. You know, no one wakes up thinking like that, but they got to the roundabout and they did have an accident. And that's going to happen anywhere in life. That can happen. And it's really a matter of being prepared for it. Doesn't mean we've got to I better carry a brush and dustpan to wipe up the glass. I don't mean like that. But, you know, we prepare for it by having insurance. We prepare for it by making sure that we train people in how to teach people, train people how to drive properly. We provide systems plus training plus support for our children when they're learning how to drive, because we want them to do it carefully and get the right result, as in come home every day they go driving. We want all of that all the time. So it's really such a critical thing. Everything is prone to change, and not all the change is going to be change that we know about in advance. So we need to be ready for it.
Tell me, you know, got many years of experience in doing this. How challenging is it to document expertise in some areas? Because it's not all mechanical. It's the businesses that you're dealing with are not necessarily, okay, we literally pick up this object and we move it over to here and we chisel something in here and then it's not an assembly line per se. You know, a lot of businesses, it's a lot of manpower hours doing things. Some are creative, some are not. But how do you actually capture that?
I suppose there are a few things to look at there. And it's an important point, and I'm glad you brought that one up. When we look at somebody, when we engage somebody, when we employ somebody, we will only get somebody who has a particular level of education to get there. So it would depend on the job, but this person has the right basis for doing that. But the fact that they've got education doesn't mean that they're ready to do the job. We're then going to provide training that brings them up even further to the point where we believe they are competent to do the job that we've employed them for. So again, we've got that training, and again, we would be making sure that we've got the system that we're training them against and the support and so on in there. What we're doing, of course, is to make it so that we can get them to the point where we know that they are competent. We know that they can perform the tasks that they're supposed to, drawing on that education, drawing on that expertise that we've given them in the first place. So it really is a matter of making sure that we are aware of what we have when we engage somebody. What do we need to have? What are the basic skills or grounding they need? And then what is the work that we have to do to get them to the point where we can hand them over to the job, hand them over to that task, and expect them to get there with the right result?
Yeah, I mean, it's so important, isn't it, that it's transferable?
Hmm.
Because I think, you know, businesses grow as well. Sometimes it's the opportunity, isn't it, that someone to move up in a business or into a different role, whatever that might be. And so being able to pass that on to the next person is important, as equally as it is for other people to understand their place in the whole scheme of things, because that often does happen in business. I mean, there are classic examples. You know, personally, having been involved in marketing over the years, traditionally sales and marketing don't talk to each other. And a lot of that happens because there isn't any system in place to transfer knowledge and understand the role that each one plays. And instead, they try and act independently of one another. So, and I'm sure you've got lots of examples of where that actually happens.
Yeah.
Hey, John, I just want to take a break from the main part of the podcast for a moment so you can tell us a little bit more about Brain in a Box.
So Brain in a Box started, the idea started when I was working in corporate. I was working in a couple of major companies, internationals, and I decided that when I went out and started my first business in 2000, that it was going to use the same principles as I had done in corporate world, to capture systems and to make them accessible to the team. But I thought, I've got to be able to do this for small business, small to medium business. And that's what we focus on. So we work with the business owner, with the team, to capture what the business does, and then to minimize the risk by going through and looking at all the risks that we have to manage, make sure we capture those and manage them effectively, and also to achieve the benefit. And then we make all that. That's just effectively what it is. It's amazing how, when you talk to many business owners, they will, just using that example of marketing and sales, they will say, oh, we just call it marketing and sales, or sales and marketing, and it's just one area. And I say, well, it is really quite a different thing. You know, one is going out and telling the world what we do and finding out whether that's what the market wants. And then if it is what we want, then we work out what we can do to actually sell it to people and make it interesting to them. And that's the marketing department. And as soon as somebody is interested, we throw them across the fence into sales. And then salespeople can pick up that person who's interested, that lead, and then develop that interest and hopefully get them to sign a sales order, which we throw across the fence into delivery. And it is very different in its purpose between, you know, there's a huge difference between marketing and sales, which I think too many business owners just glue together without thinking about it and just don't think about. And it's a little bit, it's a similar thing, say, with procurement and purchasing. Procurement for me is the bit where we're going out and working out who could supply us with this particular widget, what price can they do it for, what are the delivery volumes and timing, what's the lag time and so on, will they hold stock for us that we can then have delivered to us in part and so on, and all the other things that go around with that. We haven't placed any orders yet. We're simply working out who is the best provider for this product and so on. And then when we've now got our top preferred supplier and we've got a second level supplier, in other words, a backup supplier, then at some stage we're going to say we need to purchase something, and then we're going to go to purchaser A or B, whichever. But they're a different thing. It's two different components related to each other, but they are different components, and very definitely with that. So I think with so many things in systems, we need to make sure that we got the system that makes it work effectively like that. So with systems in marketing and systems in sales, in marketing, you know, when we do a campaign, we're going to make sure we've got a training program for the salespeople so that we do that. And that training program will incorporate getting feedback from salespeople to come back to marketing so that we can refine what we're offering to the market to make it work and so on. All of those little things in there that mean that we get a good product rather than here's something, sell it, and they're saying, oh, right, now you're throwing something at us, we can't sell again and so on. You know, it's just so important to get that right.
Yeah, I mean, how do you actually deal with those scenarios where you've got experts fighting with one another to get the system so that you actually get the system right for the business?
I would say that in my role is not to fight with them. I would say, and I'll always put it this way, we don't always, but generally speaking, we will end up with the best outcome anyway. Because what we're going to do is to not start off a fight. We're going to start off by saying, all right, why don't we then map it like this and then see how it works, and then we can always refine it as we go. And as we go along, typically it will come out, because often they're seeing it as being one thing, marketing and sales or procurement and purchasing, as one thing, because they haven't examined it. They're not looking at it as a thing that needs to be examined. And how does that work? And how does this work? And oh, that joins that and that does his and so on. They're not doing that. And because they're not doing it, they don't have that insight. And then when we capture that process and when we see it, they're talking about, well, we don't do that. We're not interested. Yeah, I know. That's because that's marketing and your sales or something. So often the truth will come out because it's so visible. It's right in front of you. You can't avoid it. You know, you can't not see this, because I'm putting it right in front, and you can see that there's a clear demarcation between here's where we're getting things ready for you to use as a tool to sell with, as opposed to here's something that, you know, you're going out to clients or prospects and talking to them and doing that, because I'm never going to do that on the marketing side and so on. You'll talk to them to find out what they want, but not to actually sell to them. And so you do get that. The clarity generally comes from not me trying to convince them, because it's never satisfying to do that. But what I will always try to do is to say, can we map it as we see it? So we will always do that. And I did that with an engineering company in Brisbane at the end of last year. And it was started off with, you know, almost not talking to each other, ended up with complete understanding and agreement that this is where it lives. You know, because once you can see it, you can't argue with what you can see. You know, it's right in front of you.
I was going to say, how important is that sort of helicopter view, if I can use that term, of all of the systems kind of coming into place for the business so that people can understand how they interact? Because there are often elements within a business, particularly if there are multiple, if it's a slightly larger business and there's, you know, multiple different sections of the business where one doesn't necessarily understand the other, you know, and so being able to see where it fits in and why they're driving that way. You know, I often found, you know, again, using example in terms of marketing, finance wouldn't necessarily understand why you need these things in marketing. Surely you don't need that stuff. And you go, yes, but we need that to understand that so that we can deliver this, so that sales can pick up and do that.
Yeah.
You know, it is important, isn't it?
Oh, it is very important. With this particular client, interestingly, we worked with them for a week, and in that week we had all their core systems captured. But what we hadn't done, we'd done some parts of an overview process, but we hadn't completed that because very simply we didn't have time, it was busy. The big enough company, and we were working very solidly on it. Great team though. In the end, what we did was about 3 weeks later, the CEO came to me and said, look, we've got this. I've done this to try and join them together. Can you help me with this? And I went on and we started, you know, lining things up and giving that overview map, the whole, this is the system of this business overview, you know, as if the business was one little machine. And we did that. What we ended up doing then though, was to go to my standard system map, which is one that we've used going back with ISO 9001 and so on. And it's one we've used for many years and modified with different clients and so on. And it was almost perfectly correct right at the beginning. There were some things where this process changed the name or something else did that. But effectively, the overview of the company from, you know, an ordering process, then a returns process, then a manufacturing process, then ordering from third-party suppliers, and then returns to third-party, you know, all the different processes, installation and storage, warehousing, everything was in there and everything worked perfectly. Pretty well as it was, just as I said, we didn't have to change any lines. We just changed a few names. But you do have to have that understanding, because it's a bit like looking at a watch. You can look at a little watch and it can be this tiny little cog there and you don't know what it is until you step back a little bit and you realize, oh, that's an escapement. That little cog is there just to stop it going and unwinding the spring in 2 seconds, you know, in 1 second or whatever it is, and so on. And then you realize you step back a little bit more and you realize, oh, and that's actually governing the way this big, the master spring, the main spring unwinds, because that means that the clock will go for the full 12 hours or whatever it is, et cetera. So it's a bit of understanding that comes from looking at the whole thing that you will never get from looking at a small part. You go into any factory and you get dumped inside one part of it and it's hard to work out what the factory makes. It's really once you can come up to the mezzanine floor and look down or look at a style diagram of the whole thing that you can start to see what the business does without having been told.
Before you go, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're tuned to. Thank you for listening to the Systems from the Box podcast featuring John Tonkin from Brain in a Box. Details on how to contact John and his team are in the show notes, along with other valuable links you don't want to miss. This podcast is produced by Podcast Done For You. I'm Anthony Pearl. We look forward to your company on the next episode.